everybody. I'm Tracy Tucker, and welcome to the Who Is In My Genes podcast, where we share adventures in exploring family trees, including tips for researching your own family tree, stories about discoveries, DNA testing and matches, and lots about adoptee searches and advocacy, because we believe everyone has a right to know who is in their genes. In this episode, we're talking adoption. Well, not really adoption, but adoptees. There are going to be some things in this episode for adoptees and also for those who know, love, or support adoptees, and for those who may find themselves in a position to help an adoptee. I'm also talking about people who may not know who one or the other of their birth parents is. So, for example, they may know who their birth mother is, but not their father, or vice versa. This is an all-inclusive term. There may also be some triggers in this episode, so be aware of that. First, I don't really like the term adoptee. It just sounds weird to me. And saying person who was adopted or adopted person is just too long. I have strange vocabulary awareness. I don't think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I started losing my hearing in my 40s. I'm not deaf, but I do wear hearing aids. Hearing aids is also a term I dislike. I don't know if it's a stigma surrounding wearing them or what. If you need help seeing, you wear glasses, not seeing aids, right? In fact, some people even wear glasses as a fashion accessory, right? And especially now that ear pods, AirPods, whatever, are so popular, and their tech and hearing aid tech are starting to merge, what would be a better term for hearing aids? Ear amps? I don't know. Also, why am I hard of hearing, but when someone wears glasses, they are not hard of seeing or hard of sight? What do you call someone who can't see perfectly and needs some help? It's just weird to me. So what would be a better word for adoptee? Send me your ideas. Anyway, my personal mission in becoming a professional genealogist is to help people find their families. This applies to all people who are interested, but I have a special interest in helping adoptees since I was adopted myself. Finding my biological families and learning about my ancestors has brought me such joy and peace, like literal peace, in knowing where and who I came from. I want this for everyone, like every single person on the planet. I live in the state of Florida. Did you know that in Florida, adoptees cannot even get their own legal records, their own original birth certificate, without a court order? To me, that's outrageous. In Florida, you can also get the information if both birth parents provide their permission, or you can prove that they are both dead. Now, how the hell are you supposed to do that if you don't know who they are? And why would you need to do it if you know who they both are? I mean, that's just ridiculous. And it's not just Florida. 9 other states, plus the District of Columbia, also require a court order. 20 states are unrestricted, or at least the last time I reviewed all 50 states. That was in October of 2024. So there may be a few updates here and there, but probably not many. So 20 states are unrestricted, meaning once an adoptee is an adult, and the age range of what they mean by adult varies from state to state, they can get their original birth certificate. The last 20 states I call difficult. Each state has their own rules about how an adoptee can get their own records. One state actually requires the adoptee to have their high school diploma or a GED, Like, what? There's a whole article on this that describes the requirements for each state on my website if you're interested. Okay, so this whole episode is not going to be me ranting about this. The point I'd like to make, though, is that these records are not even going to matter pretty soon. They may not really matter now due to the prevalence of DNA direct-to-consumer tests like Ancestry. If you're adopted and you have no idea who your birth families are, just take a DNA test. If you know who your birth mother is, but not your birth father, take a DNA test. In fact, take as many as you can afford to. Someone, and likely many someones, in your biological families have already tested, with maybe a few exceptions. For example, if you're a foreign adoptee, your chances are lower, especially if you're from a country that isn't thrilled with DNA testing. For example, one of my clients has adopted children from China. They've done DNA testing on 23andMe, and I've uploaded their DNA to a couple other places, namely GEDmatch and MyHeritage. Nearly all their DNA matches are other adoptees, which is great if they want to get to know some biological relatives, but not great if they are hoping to find their parents or other close family. In an upcoming episode, we're going to feature an interview with them. So if you are an adoptee ready to DNA test, or if you're helping someone decide where to test, your primary options are Ancestry, 23andMe, MyHeritage, and Family Tree DNA. There are others, but those are the biggest databases. Ancestry has the most by far, and is where I recommend starting, especially for U.S.-born adoptees. Once you take a test at Ancestry, you can also download your DNA file and upload it to other sites, including GEDmatch and MyHeritage. Now, a note about the types of DNA and DNA testing out there. Everyone has autosomal chromosomes. Autosomal DNA tests can be taken by anyone, and you get DNA matches on both sides, maternal and paternal, male and female. Ancestry DNA and MyHeritage use autosomal DNA testing. Mitochondrial DNA, or mtDNA, or that is small m, small t DNA, is inherited from the mom. All mom's kids, sons and daughters, get mom's mtDNA. YDNA is passed from father to son only, so only males have YDNA. Family Tree DNA offers all three types of tests: autosomal, mitochondrial or mtDNA, and YDNA. And even different levels of testing, so you can choose which type of test you want and the level of detail of testing that you want from Family Tree. 23andMe does a whole other thing called genotyping, and they analyze all three types. So if you're going to test, determine what your priorities are, whether you want all your matches, or whether you're a male and you're looking for your male line. Determine your comfort level of sending your DNA to these different companies. And determine your budget, because none of them are free. And then get testing. Once your results come in, which can take a few weeks, your matches will start populating. As I mentioned before, I have, now it's 48,000 matches on Ancestry. I think the last time I mentioned that, which was just a few weeks ago, I was rounding to 47,000 matches, but now it's 48,000. Yay. In 23andMe, I have 1,500. So big difference. And no doubt some of them are duplicates. Once your matches come in, before you do anything else, do these couple of things. First, take screenshots of all the matches you want a record of. Take screenshots of how you match, meaning how much DNA, the percent, and the number of centimorgans. Take screenshots of their family trees, at least all the close family and probably the extended family, at least all first and second cousins, you should screenshot. You'll probably need that if you're going to try and build family trees from scratch to identify birth families. So why screenshot it? Well, because it can disappear at any time. Some people don't realize they will show up as a match, and once they do, they hide themselves or delete their accounts, and some make themselves or their trees private so no one can see them. You never know when they will vanish. Also, I recommend downloading your DNA file. Just download it and keep it for yourself, backed up, or to use in the future if something should happen, or if you want to upload it to other sites. Don't bother opening it and trying to decipher it because it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. Is that a word? All the DNA testing companies estimate your relationship to your match. Unless you have a parent match, you're probably going to need to build a family tree or more than one to figure out how you're related to your matches. How to do that is a whole other thing, but start by reviewing your closest matches and seeing if they have a family tree built for themselves that you can use to get started. This is how I'm currently working one of my adopted clients' DNA matches. They have multiple good matches, and some of those matches have family trees attached, which enabled me to start building a tree and find a common surname. I built it from current backwards in time and found either my client's grandfather or great grandfather. I have three or four different trees built for different matches. The issue is my client's ancestor was married twice and had 12 children, and none of the current matches are enough to triangulate the child who's my client's parent. But once you've reviewed your matches, taken your screenshots, built your family trees, and tried to figure things out, you may decide you want to message some of your matches for help. The DNA testing companies facilitate messaging to your matches within the app. I have some suggestions for how to do this if you're hoping they will help you. My word of caution is that not everyone will want to help. As shocking as that may seem, it's true. Some will not believe you. They'll think you're a liar or a troublemaker. They may say you are a mistake or a problem. Listen to me. You are not any of these things. Your conception may have been accidental, but you are not a liar, a troublemaker, a mistake, or a problem. You have value and deserve to know the truth. But if you jump right in with, "Hi, I'm adopted and looking for my birth family," you will likely face some rejection, be ignored, or worse. Some matches may disappear. Some may be excited to help you, but you won't know until you know. So my suggestion is to start with something innocuous like, "Hi, I see we're a DNA match. I'd love to explore how we may be related. Let me know if you're interested." Once you get a receptive reply, gauge what you share by what they are saying. As an example, when my paternal half-sister showed up on my match list, I knew immediately we had the same father. It took 2 years for us to get to a place where she said, "Okay, I believe you." 2 years. If I had jumped in and said, "Hey, we're sisters and share the same dad," she wouldn't have believed me. She didn't believe me for a long time. But if I had said that right off the bat, she would have thought I was some kind of crazy person, lost my marbles, or I was some kind of scammer or something, and then she would have ignored all my other messages. I know you will be excited and anxious to get things figured out, but remember, slow and steady wins the race. Just ask the tortoise. You may find people who won't reply and you really want them to, or you may have a really close match and you know who they are, like a parent match, sibling, or half sibling that you don't want to just send a generic message to. Or you may have identified one of these people through your matches and family tree building and you're ready to reach out. A little aside here. To those helpful people out there who may get messages. If you get a message like this, please reply, even if you know nothing. Think about it from their perspective and try to be compassionate and empathetic. Do you know the courage it takes to send that message? It's fully loaded. The person who sent it to you likely will have trouble sleeping for a while. Please reply. Be helpful if you can. Sometimes we need more people to test in order to figure out exactly how we're related. So maybe you can convince other family members to do so, or you can fill in some blanks or missing puzzle pieces. So please reply. You don't have to provide personal information or your address or anything, but please help if you can. Adoptees may have had wonderful parents and family, but they're still adoptees. And sometimes we've had some pretty insensitive, thoughtless, or even outright rude or mean things said to us. My own adopted dad's father once called my adopted sister and I his son's orphans. Now, that's not particularly mean, but he actually did mean it in a mean way. I also know of a family meeting where an adopted child gave their input, and her uncle said, "Well, you don't really get a say because you're not really a part of this family. What the heck?" So please reply. So, back to if you have identified someone you want to reach out to, how you do that and what you say is obviously completely up to you. My advice to you is manage your expectations. Have a good long talk with yourself about why you're contacting them. It's really best not to want or expect anything from them. You may want to decide that just the knowing is enough for you, and then prepare yourself for anything. You may be met with silence, no reply. You may be met with elation that you finally found them. You may be welcomed with open arms into your biological family like you never left, or you may be completely rejected. You can also decide that you don't want to know these people. I know one adoptee whose biological mother is constantly asking for money. I know another adoptee who showed up on her biological mother's doorstep, and when she said who she was, had the door slammed right in her face. So basically, the same crap that can happen in any family can also happen here. Please don't expect rainbows and unicorns. If you get them, more power to you. Congratulations, but don't expect that. So be thoughtful in your communications both ways. Be sensitive to the situation, but also stand up for yourself. No one on any side is obligated to share information they are not comfortable sharing. In fact, don't share until you're very sure that it's safe to do so. But also advocate and stand up for yourself. You deserve, as does everyone, to know where you came from. You deserve to know who your biological families are and who your ancestors were. You deserve to know your own story. One biological mother I know was dragging her feet about telling her children about the baby she gave up for adoption, and the adoptee finally said, "I understand why you're hesitating, but they are my siblings and I want to get to know them. If you don't tell them about me, it won't be very long until I tell them myself, so it's up to you who you want them to hear it from," the mother told the siblings. So in summary, if you're an adoptee or are helping an adoptee, don't forget to send me your ideas for replacing that word, by the way. First, determine your goal, your comfort level, and your budget, and then get your DNA testing done. If you're in an unrestricted state, also send in to get your original birth certificate. Take the first steps once your DNA results come in and then start building family trees. Set your expectations, then reach out to matches you want to talk to. No matter how it works out, I have never heard an adoptee who has found their biological family say they regretted it, even if they have no ongoing relationship with them. You'll know your story and you'll know who exactly is in your genes. Good luck. Thank you for listening to the Who Is In My Genes podcast with me, Tracy Tucker. If you enjoyed it, please give us a great review to help others find the show and follow us to get notified of new episodes. Visit us online at whoisinmygenes.com for all the ways we can help you find out who is in your genes, and follow us on Instagram for the images we mention in the show. Links are in the show notes. Join us next week for a new episode of Adventures in Exploring Family Trees.